Good morning. We are blessed that you're with us this morning, and we want to tell you that we always appreciate it when you're with us. We know that you could have gone to other congregations and could have stayed home, but we appreciate that you're with us this morning. Your presence is a medicine to our soul. It's a blessing and a medicine. This morning we'll be spending our time in the book of Nahum, specifically in chapter 1, verse 7. So go ahead and open your Bible to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7. It said, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him." So this was our memory verse. And it's a verse that we will spend most of our time this morning. The idea that God is a refuge, the idea that God cares. And we will do that. But first, allow me to go through this book. Nahum is one of the prophets, and like what I've said numerous times, a prophet is a whistleblower at their point in history. They were preachers that brought the message of God, regardless of how hard the message was. They had to speak those words to either the king of Israel or to other kings. And in this case, Nahum was a messenger not only to Israel. The message was also for other kings, specifically the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire was this world power at this time. That has captured Israel, the northern kingdom, right? The 10 tribes. And even though the southern part, Judah, the kingdom of Judah, was not yet captured, they were devastated by the fact that part of Israel is under the rule of the Assyrian Empire. And they had to pay taxes to Assyria as well, even though they're not yet part of the Assyrian regime, the Assyrian Empire. And what right at the bat, in verse 1, what we're told is that Assyria will not continue to be the world power. They will be persecuted, they will be disciplined as well, and they will be handed off to other empires. We'll see that in chapter 3. So the big picture of Nahum, the book of Nahum, one of the prophets, is that this idea of God being sovereign, the biblical concept that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that He's not limited to the human standard, that He's not limited by our norms, but He's beyond our norms, He's beyond our history, He's beyond our control. We can't put God in small boxes and say, this is God, and this is God, because He's beyond that. So that's what we see in the book of Nahum. One of the things here that I think is important for us to remember when we study the book of Nahum is that God is speaking through Nahum for Israel, but also for the Assyrian Empire. And He's saying that the only thing that will stay forever is not the Assyrian Empire, but God. And actually, God is using the Assyrian Empire, or was using the Assyrian Empire, to discipline Israel. And then after the Assyrian Empire disciplined Israel, the Assyrian Empire itself will be disciplined by God. They will be handed off to the Babylonian Empire. Then after the Babylonian will be the disciplining factor for Israel, Babylon itself will be handed to the Assyrian Empire. So there's this transition of power that we see here in the book of Nahum. And the one that really stays forever is God Himself. And so this is that idea that He is the God of refuge in verse 7. That He is the one that can be trusted in times of trouble. That He is the one that really cares. And this concept of God being the refuge is not only limited to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. It's also mentioned in Psalm chapter 9, verse 9. Let me read it. It said, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, a fortress in time of trouble." And it's also in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 27. It said, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." And another in Psalm chapter 144, verse 2, said, "He is my living God and my fortress, my stronghold and deliverer, and my shield when I take refuge." So God being the refuge is not only limited to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. David, who loved to praise God, who loves to reflect about the sovereignty of God, has been singing, has been praying, has been talking about God being the refuge, being the stronghold. And it's here in the book of Nahum that we really see the big picture of God being the stronghold, the fortress, the one that's more reliable. So let me sum this up in the book of Nahum. Is that God is making the case through Nahum that all this world power will pass away. All these empires will pass away. They will rise and fall, but the one that stays forever is God. He's making the case that God is the reliable foundation of our life. Not those things, but God is the reliable foundation. He is the refuge. He is the fortress. When we talk about refuge or fortress or stronghold, for this verse, it said stronghold, the New King James Version. When we talk about stronghold, it gives us the imagery of a castle that's hedged by fortresses, right? There's many fortresses. There's many forts. And this fort is built on solid rock. Sometimes they're like as heavy as 1 ton, and they're stacked up on top of each other, and that becomes the line, the first line of defense before you get to the king or before you get to the Lord. And also, the stronghold is a place of security. If you're a soldier and you're one of the watchmen, you stay in the stronghold, in the fortress, and you're basically protected 360 from all, you have this small window. It's right here, this one of the picture. You have a small window where you can peek through, but you're protected 360 from arrows, from what have you. And that's the imagery that we get about Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, that God is a stronghold. He is our protector. He is our line of defense, the first and line of defense. He is the one that is a solid foundation. He is the rock, as David would say it. He is the rock of our faith. Everything will be shaken, but not this fortress, not this stronghold. And when we think about God, that He is sovereign, that He is big, sometimes we get lost in that translation of being God so big. So if God is so big, He is not small enough to care for me. That's not true. He is big, but He's also into the details of our life. He cares for us. That's what the verse said in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. He is the sovereign God. He is the fortress, unshakable, unmovable. But He also, despite Him being the solid rock, unchangeable, unmovable, this big and sovereign God, He also cares for us. He cares for us. I don't know if you have processed that, but I want you to think about God being a sovereign God, and yet He is into the details of our life. He cares enough for us. So we'll talk about the strongholds of our life, because strongholds is important. Let me say it again. Stronghold is important for us because there are many things that will change in our life. Will change status. You were once a single. You become married. Once you become married, you'll have kids. If you were one of those that love kids. And then once you kids go and become, college students, you become nesters, right? Empty nesters. And then once you become nesters, empty nesters, you grow old. So life changes, and with all these changes, sometimes we get lost in our identity. Sometimes probably, for example, you lost your job. You've been on this job for 30 years, and suddenly, 30 years, and that become your identity. And then suddenly you lost your job. And without a proper fortress, without a proper stronghold, we will probably be affected by the changes. And this year has given us a lot of changes, a lot of transitions in life. Some lost their jobs, some kept their job, but were cut in pay. They were paid in half, probably. Some were demoted, probably. And sadly, most of our friends lost their loved ones. And that's a big transition in life as well. So a fortress is important for us. To understand, a stronghold is important for us. And there are five strongholds that we would like to tackle this morning. One, skip that one, is the idea of body, our physical well-being. Does God care enough about our well-being, our physical well-being? And you can find verses in the Bible that talks about God wanting us to care for our body. You can easily go back to the Old Testament, for example, in the book of Exodus, where they were prohibited to eat certain kind of foods. Not because God does not want them to try, bacon probably or ham or something like that, but because God loves their health for their specific journey. And then in the book of Acts, that has been expanded to for people to be allowed to eat almost anything. So God loves our health. God loves our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And I highlighted that there. Glorify God in your body. Sometimes we have this idea that God, yes, He's sovereign, but I'm in charge of my own body. And Paul says, no, I'm sorry, but you're not in charge of your own body. God bought you the price, and your body belongs to God. And God wants you to respect the body that He has given you. I mean, I was in Iraq 3-4 weeks ago, and I realized how important it is to have your extremities, to be able to just pick up like a cup of coffee or a book was strenuous without your proper function of your fingers. I've realized how important it is to be able to type, to be able to write, to be able to help myself put on my clothes. Because of that experience, I'm thankful that I am well and complete. I am fine. But God wants to tell us this morning that He cares for your body. He loves your body. He loves you to give attention to your body, to your physical well-being. So one of the strongholds that we need to defend, we need to keep, is the stronghold of physical well-being. Are you doing well? Are you taking care of your body? Are you feeding it well? Are you feeding the right things, the good things? Are you teasing it some with chocolate or, you know, those kinds of stuff? Are you attending to the needs of your body? Are you seeing a doctor? It might be, you know, not important to you, but I think the Bible tells us to take care of our body because our body is a gift. Our body belongs to God. And one of the reasons why God would like for us to take care of our body is because we are His vessels for His goodness. And without a complete body, without a perfect body, without a healthy body, you would not be able to go and express God's love to your neighbor, would you? Without the hand that shakes people's hand, you would not be able to tell how much you miss the other person. Without the mouth that speaks, you would not be able to say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're present. I'm glad you're with us this morning. Without the hand that flips open the Bible, you would not be able to point the verses here. Without the healthy eyes, you would not be able to see the beauty of your friend, of your brother, your sister, your daughter, your son. So this is important for us. It's important for us that we take care of our body, that we defend that. That's a fortress that we need to defend. The other fortress is also the mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I love the idea that our mind is not stationary. That our mind can actually grow. That our mind can absorb information. That our mind can keep some files of memories, good ones as well as bad ones. But that also our mind can be renewed. Back then in the old times, there was an understanding that once you're in a certain age, that's when your brain starts growing. And that's very untrue, especially what happened to Phineas Gates in the 18th century, where he was this person that sets dynamites, and accidentally it went off, and that bar that he used to push the dynamite down in the hole went up and got into his head, pierced through his head. And he survived, by the way. He survived. His brain was able to accept the force from that rod. But his function, the function of the brain, moved to one part of the brain. And his speech was affected, but he was still able to speak. But he was the beginning of the study of the neuroscience. And they understood that brain can actually shift its function. It's not just limited to one aspect. But it can shift its function from the frontal lobe to the back of your head. But the idea here is that the mind can be renewed. I love Romans chapter 12. I mentioned this before when Paul said, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice acceptable. And then in the next verse, he said in verse 2, but be transformed. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul understood rightly that mind is the center of our consciousness, the center of our body. It's the command center. Whatever you feed into your mind comes out of your mouth and comes out of your actions. If you feed it hate, it will come out with hate. If you feed it with love, it come out. If you feed it with good things will come out from your mouth. Paul rightly understood that. So we must defend this fortress, this stronghold of mind. And I wish that in this time, what you've been feeding it, what you've been putting into your brain, your mind, are things from God. So many noises from the world today. So many narratives, so many stories. Some are misleading, some are true. But I hope that you have time for the Word of God, because this is what keeps us in check. This is one that can see through the facade. This is the one that divides the soul and the joints and the marrows. So we must keep this in check, and we must protect our mind. Feed it good things, godly things, Christian things. The third one is family. Ephesians chapter 5. I think you already know why we need to protect our family. You already know that our family is important. You can pick your friends. Unfortunately, you cannot pick your parents or your siblings. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 and the following verses, it said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. And Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, do not exasperate your children. This is an imagery of what a loving, Christian, good family is. And it's important for us in these times to protect our own family. Have you been doing the extra work to protect your family? I'm not just talking about protecting your family from a third party person. I'm talking about protecting your family from the forces of the world. If you're not taking your child to church, whether your child is 7 years old or 17 years old, you're not protecting your family. Because once the child get out of your house, they're like free birds. Everything that they can hear, they absorb. And so if you're not building the foundation for them right now, you're not protecting your child from this world. It's important that you bring them to church. Important that you build that foundation for them. So it's important that we protect our family. Like what I said, not just from the third party person, but from the forces of the world. And we do that by taking them to church, by studying the Word, by praying together, by being a Christian family. And then the fourth one is about time. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, it said, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Go back to that phrase in verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. That talks about time, making the most of your time. Every second is a gift. Every second is a gift. We have seen lots of people lost their loved ones. We have a member here that, you know him, but I don't want to name him because I didn't ask permission from him. But he was not able to be with his wife for months because of the virus. And his wife passed away. And just the thought that your spouse would, you know, be alone for a couple of months or weeks, even just weeks, and not be able to be there at their side, it hurts. It hurts. And I feel the pain that people are going through. So I want to make the case that every second is a gift from God. That right now we're here. That right now we're together. This is a gift, brothers and sisters. Tomorrow we may not have this gift. Tomorrow we may not be alive. Tomorrow Jesus may come back. Tonight he may come back. So this is a gift. And this is a gift that we should that we should make sure that we rightly use it, because Paul said, make use of every opportunity, and every second is opportunity. The moment that you get up is an opportunity. The moment that you realize that you're alive, that's an opportunity. That's a blessing from God. And I think the first thing that we should do is thank God that we are alive, that we still have moments in our lives, that we're still with our kids, with our family members, with our father, our mother, our grandparents. That's a gift. And then the last one that I think holds everything is God. Because without God, our body would be misunderstood as something that I can do, you know. I have a freedom to do everything with my body because it's my body. Without God, we would be misunderstanding that it's all about the brain, putting a lot of information. And if you're a person that doesn't have information, then you're useless. But that's not the case without God. That's how we would understand our mind. We would be worshiping the intellectuals. Without God, our family would not rightly see what a family is supposed to be. We would think the old ways where family is all about the husband. But that's not what Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians. There's respect and submission and love and grace in the family. So God is the one that tells us that every moment of our life is significant. It's important to give. So God is the core of this foundation, this stronghold that we need to protect. So there are five strongholds, and I want to go back. Body, our physical well-being that we need to protect. Our mind, we need to protect our mind. Our time, how we use our time. Our family, most specifically our family, we need to protect our family, not just from the third party, but from the forces of this world, from the devil himself. And we need to protect our relationship with God, because God is the one that gives us the right direction. God is the one that helps these things stick together. God is the one that directs us about how to properly understand this. The strongholds of our life. But while we do this, there's also other strongholds in our life that try to set its foundation, that robs us away, that drives us away from God, robs us of the proper understanding of these things. And these are the strongholds of sin, hate, worldliness, selfishness. 1 John chapter 2 tells us of the three avenues of life. Three avenues of sin. 1 John, verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15 to 16, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes from the Father. Not from the Father. There was no reaction there. Comes not from the Father, but from the world. So these are the strongholds also of the enemy. And even though we understand rightly that the strongholds from God is the one that we need to protect, the body, the mind, the family, and the time, the enemy is also trying to create another stronghold so that it can take hold of our life and direct us. It's the stronghold of sin, hate, and worldliness, selfishness, materialism. And these strongholds from God will not last, brothers and sisters, if another stronghold is setting foot in our life, the sin and the hate. There cannot be a rivalry between God and the world. Jesus spoke about this. He said, you cannot serve both God and mammon at the same time. There has only to be one Lord and one God in our lives. So what we need to do is break. I'm going to clean this up later. But we need to break this, you know. I don't have a sledgehammer, so I can't literally break this because I don't, you know what. But we need to break this. I'm not even going to try. But we need to break these strongholds in our lives, the sin and the hate, worldliness and selflessness. For God's fortresses, strongholds to really set foot and take deep roots in our lives, there has to be the breaking of the old fortress, the old things in our lives. 2 Corinthians tells us, behold, the old things have gone, the new has come. The changing of the old and the new will not really take place if we still try to take hold of the old. For the proper changing of the old and the new, we must let go of the old. We must let go of selfishness, of hate, of worldliness. We must allow God to say, you're done with the old. You've tasted it, and it didn't taste good. You thought it was good. You thought that sin was good, but then you only end up with more guilt. You thought that materialism was good, but you only end up with more debt. You thought that the world was good, but you ended up with confusion. This is not what's best for you. What's best for you are my gifts for you. So Nahum reminds us this morning that the only reliable stronghold, fortress of our life is not sin, it's not materialism, it's not self, it's not worldliness. The reliable stronghold, fortress that we must keep and protect is God. And God directs us to the proper understanding of my physical well-being, of my mental well-being, proper understanding of time, proper understanding of family. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what really is going into our individual lives. There's so many things going on. But I do hope that in those noises that we hear today, there is a slight hope that God can be loud enough for you so that you can hear His voice. I would like to invite those that are not yet in Christ, especially at this time where we see a lot of confusion, a lot of noise, to offer yourself, your body, your mind to God. And tell God that I'm ready. Not tonight, right now. God, I'm ready. I'm so ready. I want to offer my life to you. Our baptistry is ready. The gowns are ready. Brother Mark or one of the elders ready to baptize you and dip you, and you can accept and have a good relationship with Jesus. And He will definitely stay with you no matter what, because He is this reliable stronghold that will not be shaken, that will continue to be unmovable, that will continue to care for you. He is Jesus, and He's waiting for you.